This interview with Professor Brian Boyle is the fourth in a special series of interviews about the Square Kilometre Array. For the rest of the interviews and the full show, visit www.jodcast.net.
Today with me is Professor Brian Boyle, who is chair of the International SKA Steering Committee and also is the head of the Australia Telescope National Facility. So thank you very much for being with us today. What makes Western Australia such a good place for the SKA?
There's a number of reasons that makes Western Australia an excellent place for the SKA, indeed an excellent place for many future radio telescopes. First of all, Western Australia is a very isolated place. It has very low levels of radio frequency interference that would otherwise drown out the faint radio signals from the stars and galaxies that we're trying to study. Secondly, it has an excellent population of skilled engineers to draw on for the construction of radio telescopes. It's also got an increasing focus on employing radio astronomers in its universities. And then finally, it's got an excellent ionosphere above Western Australia that will allow us to do low-frequency observations right down to frequencies in the FM band to study the origin of the first stars in the universe.
That sounds like Australia is just the place. How will you operate the SKA in Western Australia?
Well, there's a number of different potential models for operating the SKA. The favoured one at the moment is for SKA to be operated remotely. So the central core station, which would, if Western Australia were chosen as a location for the SKA, the central core is about 400 kilometres inland from Geraldton on the west coast of Western Australia. It's a remote, isolated spot. It's unlikely that we'd be able to house or accommodate or even attract a significant number of people to such a lonely and isolated spot. It's beautiful, but there's not a lot to do at the weekends in that spot. So we would operate the telescope remotely from a science centre in Geraldton or indeed in Perth. So the supercomputer for processing the data would be in Geraldton. We would pipe the data from the core site to the supercomputer at Geraldton or at Perth, process the data, and then transmit those process results around the world to various science centres that we establish. I think one of the nice things that we'd also like to do, of course, is because of the Square Kilometre Array is very much a software telescope. It's very dependent on high data transmission rates, broadband links. The opportunity to pipe SKA data, or indeed have people control the SKA data from their own desktop at home, is quite a compelling one, and perhaps even giving a fraction of the time on the SKA to school children around the world, so that people in year 11 or year 12 in Australia or in sixth form in here in the UK could actually do some leading edge science experiments from their own desk in school. I think would be a remarkable opportunity provided by the SKA.
If the SKA is sited in Australia, what's it going to mean for the country as a whole? So you've touched on the use of the SKA possibly by school children for education, plus also it's going to attract radio astronomers. What else could the SKA bring to Australia?
Well, I think it offers Australia an opportunity, the opportunity to engage in leading-edge technology developments, particularly in the areas of information technology. I think it also serves as an icon to the public for the can-do approach of Australia to science. I mean, the Parkes radio telescope has served as an icon for the Australian public for over 40 years. Of course, it was famously recognised as the place to receive the first transmissions of man walking on the moon. And I think, of course, we see here in places like Jodrell Bank, what an icon that serves, how to inspire people in humankind's creativity and desire to understand the universe. And if it can inspire people to appreciate science, appreciate our quest for knowledge in the universe, I think that's its major outcome.
It will certainly be an inspiring instrument, and it will be a focus for radio astronomy around the world, not just Australia. But what kind of expertise does Australia have in building such an instrument?
Australia's got a great deal of expertise. Of course, Australia was one of the pioneers, along with the United Kingdom, in the development of radio astronomy immediately after the Second World War. So Australia's been involved in building radio telescopes now for over 50 years. We've got particular strengths in the area of signal processing, in the development of receiver packages for telescopes, and indeed in the construction of antennas themselves. I think we've also got a very strong scientific community. that's really important because it is, after all, the science that drives the design and the operation of the telescope in the longer term. So all around, I think Australia has got a tremendous capability. But before I get too much waving the Australian flag here, I should say that the critical component of ESCA is its international nature, that no one country could even hope to master all the bits of technology requirements for the ESCA. This is truly a global project, and irrespective of whether or not the telescope is actually sited in Australia, I see a very strong role for Australia playing in the construction, the operation and the utilisation of the telescope wherever it's located. And I think that's really, when it comes down to it, it's the participation in the project that's the most important aspect.
Now, you are the chair of the International SKA Steering Committee. What does that mean? Does that mean that you're the person who decides which way everything goes, or what?
No, for the next 2 years, I'm simply chief cat herder. I really, as chair, it's a wonderful opportunity to assist in facilitating the emergence of a single project overall, is to corral these national efforts, is to work with my colleagues in the International Steering Committee to produce strategies for the next few years, which will see us at the beginning of the next decade actually be in a position to essentially write the first checks for the constructions of the first phase of the Square Kilometre Array. In that regard, of course, I'm very privileged not only to be working with my scientific colleagues, but also my colleagues in the funding agencies, and bringing the funding agencies together that so over the next few years they have enough confidence in the project to move forward by committing the required amounts of money to move forward to construction. I mean, in that regard, I think the SKA is moving forward very well. Strong interest from research agencies in supporting the project in the longer term, and realizing that the scientists around the world are seeing SKA as one of the key instruments that will solve some of the most fundamental problems in contemporary physics for the 21st century.
Well, thank you very much indeed, and we wish Australia all the best in its bid for hosting the SKA. Professor Brian Ball, thank you very much indeed for taking the time out to talk to us.
Thank you very much. It's been a blast.